Welcome to The Grill Room. On the menu this week, all the latest news, views, and opinions from the world of professional golf. Your maitre d's are Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli, two friends who rarely agree on anything. You can count on them to give you both sides of the story, whether you want it or not. So come on in, have a seat, and remember, anything that comes from The Grill Room is definitely on our tab. And remember, keep your applause to a mild clap, all right? After all, we're talking golf here.
Grill Room doors are open, and yes, we have a seat for you. Welcome to this week's show. Last week, we had Alex Maselli in St. Andrews. This week, he's at Chambers Bay, where the United States Open is going to be played. Oh, it's coming up on the horizon quicker than we think. Alex, welcome to the show. Give us a little update on what transpired at St. Andrews since we last spoke. Your trip home, and how was it getting to Chambers Bay?
Long. That's how it is. It was very long. It's a, you know, obviously it's a long trip from St. Andrews just to get back to the U.S. and then to come all the way to the West Coast. It's you know, it's a little tiring, and the weather in Seattle area, Bob, is probably hasn't been as good as it was in Scotland, for gosh sakes. Bottom line is I'm going to get over to Chambers Bay again later today. It's the first time I've been there in like 5 years, and I'm assuming it's going to be different, but at the same time, I'm not assuming a lot. I've heard a lot of people in this area talk it up, but that's because we're in this area. But most people outside this area have nothing good to say about the venue. So it'll be interesting to see exactly how it's going to pan out over the, not only the 4 days, but really the 7 days, because there's just not a lot of room to put people.
You know, the thing that alarmed me, and haven't had an opportunity to speak to you about this, but it transpired down at the Masters. They have that annual press meeting on Wednesday morning. Adam Barr got up as the spokesperson for the United States Golf Association and made the most unusual request that I've ever heard. He said there's going to be limited inside the ropes access. So what we're asking you is, if you have a player and you want to go watch him play holes 5 through 7, then bring that credential back in, and we can give it to somebody else to go out and watch somebody from holes 9 through 11. I've never heard of anything like that. And my experiences in media rooms, the guys are not going to come back in and say, hey, I walked my 2 holes. Here, I'm going to give it up.
Well, I mean, you'd almost have to be clairvoyant to know what holes you'd want to go watch your guy play well or play poorly in. I mean, it's a very, very bad situation, and it's going to be interesting to see how it goes. It's the next three venues that are major venues, the venue at Chambers Bay, the venue at St. Andrews, and the venue at Whistling Straits, are really limiting in a lot of ways for spectators and for the media to go ahead and cover the events. And so it'll be interesting to see how they go. I know that people that have actually gotten injured trying to cover the event at Whistling Straits in the past. And St. Andrews, there's so many seats that they're putting up there that a lot of the spectators are going to be using those and sitting in seats versus trying to walk around. Because, as you know, basically the golf course goes out and comes back in. You only have one side of the fairway that you can actually have any kind of spectators on. So it's a very limiting situation as well. But the old course is the old course, so you give that its due. These other two places are not the old course, and so it's very hard to go ahead and give them any kind of support in regard to what's going on, because it's not like there's a shortage of good venues, major venues in this country, that we have to go to places that just shouldn't, by their infrastructure alone, hold a major championship.
There are going to be a lot of sleepless nights for the USGA going to an untested venue like Chambers Bay, going to Fox Sports to televise their national championship. I mean, both you know, elements could work out perfect, or both elements could end up being a horror show. I would assume the USGA a little apprehensive at best prior to the start of this Open Championship.
Well, I think, first of all, Bob, 90 million, or 90 million plus, I should say, probably solves a lot of problems for the USGA and their angst in regards to what's going to happen at the Open U.S. Open this year. You know, secondly, this isn't the first venue they've gone to that's been a little questionable. 2 years ago when they went to Marion, they had really had no idea what they were going to get from a player standpoint, how the course was going to really hold up depending on the weather conditions. And I think what's quite interesting about that is they thought that if it rained, the course softened up, it would be very easy, and it would turn into a congressional, where Rory McIlroy went out and just, you know, blitzed the golf course for 4 days. In turn, what happened was is it rained, and the players never figured Marion out. And so, you know, they don't seem to really get what happens on a golf course with these guys. I think it's a good example of, you know, these guys are so good. They really don't understand them, and they don't understand what they can do. And at the same time, they seem not to do very well at understanding their own venue sometimes. And this happened going all the way back to Wingfoot, where they didn't know what to do with Shinnecock, where they had problems with the golf course then. They really didn't know how to set the golf course up with certain weather conditions. Marion, they didn't understand Marion and how it would play under certain weather conditions. And now we're going to Chambers Bay, and why they decided to pick a venue like this, where it's untested, as you said, and you're going to have issues from an infrastructure standpoint, have no idea how the golf course is going to play, because the only championship they've ever had there was the U.S. Amateur. The difference being the U.S. Amateur was played in August, and this is in June, completely different weather conditions. You really have to wonder what they're thinking on these venue selections.
Well, let me get back to your opening comment about 90 million reasons why the USGA probably is sleeping well. That's the amount of money that Fox opted to put up on the table, causing the end of the longtime relationship between NBC and ESPN and the USGA as far as their events go. A lot of early reports out of Fox indicate that, boy, they're going to really put it on the line. They're going to try and do as many things different and innovative as they possibly can. But the problem with that, you try something new, there's a 50-50 chance that, hey, it'll be great or it will not work.
Well, first of all, it's golf, so I'm not really sure what all of a sudden we're going to get so innovative about. But that being said, it's one thing to work on making changes and doing something different during a golf tournament. But this isn't just a golf tournament. It's the National Open. I don't think that anybody wants to see the National Open used as a guinea pig on television. So, you know, again, we'll see what happens. But, you know, if I had my druthers, I probably would have taken $85 million and gone with NBC. But I wasn't making the decision, and I wasn't the one that was going to leave $5 million plus on the table.
Well, you could have put up that $5 million out of your pocket change. It wouldn't have made that pocket any smaller. Hey, by the way, the Grill Room is proud to be doing our part to entertain the active men and women in our military, but also the veterans as part of the Armed Forces Radio Network. To find out the Grill Room showtimes on the Armed Forces Radio Network, just go to the schedule section. It's on the homepage of the Armed Forces Radio Network.org website. Tougher to read than you would ever imagine, but trying. The Grill Room is on 6 times a week, so there's plenty of opportunity to tune in. We'll start our journey around the world of golf when we return.
You're listening to The Grill Room, heard on TuneIn Radio and Armed Forces Radio, powered by Golf Week.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
I'd like to welcome some of the most important people in golf to The Grill Room. Golf course superintendents. Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many that now offer natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Masters champion Jordan Spieth agrees.
If you love golf like I do, you'll thank your golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Welcome back to the Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
There it is, promised. Time now for Around the World of Golf. Let's start off with the Zurich Classic on the PGA Tour. And another week where the weather was a big part of the story. Rain and storms in the New Orleans area really delayed play, but it certainly didn't retard the performance of Justin Rose, who, by the way, happens to be a Zurich ambassador, made that victory even sweeter. And, you know, Justin Rose really establishing himself now, a victory over the last 6 years. Certainly didn't have a good spring. Been affected by allergies. You may know something about that, Alex. But, you know, the performance at the Masters, where he finished second, seemed to give him a tremendous boost in confidence. He goes down to New Orleans and gets the job done.
Well, you're right, Bob. He struggled a lot during the winter. I mean, just didn't play well, didn't make a cut. In any event that he played where there was a cut, and even in the no-cut events, he didn't play very well. But all of a sudden, Houston kind of got it together, played well at the Masters, and now here he goes and wins. I'll tell you, it's impressive because he's getting himself in position going into an event that he's actually won in the past, the U.S. Open. And no matter how you win a U.S. Open, you're always going to be a U.S. Open champion, and you know what it's like to win a major championship. Here is now Justin Rose getting that ultimate confidence, winning, and then taking that in about a month or so to Chambers Bay.
I really hadn't come into the year with much form going into the Masters, but surprised myself at how calm and collected I felt on that Sunday. So that was the real takeaway for me from the tournament, and obviously that really helped me have the confidence to put this one away.
All right, as I said, Alex, he's won six previous times on the PGA Tour. Got that one major under his belt already. And the one thing that he said, had this kind of feeling that, you know, Zurich was going to be the place for him. He's been a Zurich ambassador. He's made friends with a lot of people at Zurich. And he seemed extra thrilled to win. You know, and I guess every player would be if you're being compensated by a sponsor and you go win their event, it certainly justifies any compensation that you're receiving.
Well, I don't think it's only that, Bob. I think that when you have a relationship like, as you said, he has with Zurich, there's a lot of players that have relationships with RBC. There's some of the players that have relationships with Wyndham in regards to sponsorship. I just think you have this relationship. You know the people at the venues. You know the people at the company. You do outings during the year. You do different things. And so they become, in some ways, friends. So really what you're doing is you're winning for a friend who they could actually use that in so many ways in regards to not only their brand, but for the tournament itself down the road. So I think those are the things that you take away if you're Justin Rose and if you're at Zurich. So I think that's the reason why it was probably as exciting as it was. And I'm sure it's very similar to RB when Jim Furyk won at the Canadian, or rather at Heritage. I mean, he's an RBC guy, and all of a sudden now RBC's got one of their guys winning. So I think those are the positives you pull out of it.
It certainly must feel good. The people that are in charge of selecting the players they want, both for Zurich and RBC, going back-to-back with winners that are affiliated with their corporation. But Justin Rose tells us nothing feels as great as sinking a crucial putt on the 72nd hole.
Whenever you hole a putt on the 72nd hole, or to finish out a tournament, or to, you know, those are the most meaningful putts. You know, the putt at 17 sets up the opportunity to win the tournament. But when you go ahead and slam the door by making a nice putt like that, you know, that's by far and away the best feeling.
You know, Alex, with all the weather that they had down in New Orleans, the rain, the wind, the fact that Justin Rose played the last 66 holes of that event without making a bogey, it's mind-boggling to me.
Well, I mean, you could say that, Bob, but at the same time, it's ball in hand the entire time.
That helps.
Yeah, you give a guy a ball in hand on the PGA Tour, and he's going to be able to do a lot of things that he couldn't do if not. By the way, Justin Rose, he talked about that putt at 17 and setting things up. You know, he needs the putt at 17. Not at the time does he know that, but he needs that putt at 17, and he hits a very nice shot in there. He's only got about a 10-footer kind of downhill, makes that birdie putt, and then turns around and birdies 18. Well, 18 sounds easy because it's a par 5, but with water all the way down the right side, you know, you got to go up there and you got to stand up and you got to hit a drive, and that's exactly what Justin Rose did. And I probably what I would say is more of an indifferent second shot in between clubs, and hit a third shot that kind of got away from him a little. But making the putt was crucial because he knew that there were guys behind him. He knew that scoring conditions were such that someone could still come back and get it, go after him. But after making that putt at 18, Bob, he spent the entire rest of the time as the rest of the field was finishing, taking pictures, signing autographs, and being a Zurich ambassador, because he knew once he made that putt at 18, it was over, and for all intents and purposes, it was.
Well, that's the Justin Rose we have grown to love way back since 1998, being at Royal Birkdale when he holed that infamous shot from the fairway on the 72nd hole, turned professional the next day. Justin Rose came away with the highest honors, but Alex, certainly some other names worth mentioning. And the first one is Cameron Tringali, second. You know, he just keeps knocking on this door. A very talented young golfer has yet to taste victory. But when we look at the way he's trending, I would be surprised if he doesn't win in 2015.
Well, a couple of things I think, Bob, about Cameron Tringali's performance on Sunday. He missed so many makeable putts down the stretch after making a bogey at 13. Missed a birdie at 14, 15, 16, 17. All putts that could have been made. But I thought the most impressive part of the situation was is he knew he had to eagle 18 to tie Justin Rose. And he's not as long. He had like 270 or 260, somewhere in there. He's not as long as others. And he went ahead and he went after the pin of the hole location, I should say, on 18, barely getting over the hazard. Now, there are a lot of guys that, knowing that they had second place in the bag, as long as they didn't screw up the 18th hole, would not have gone after that hole location, would have tried to make an eagle from 50 or 60 yards out. In turn, Cameron Tringali just barely came up short with his eagle chip at 18. That just kind of shows you where Cameron Tringali's head was in regards to wanting to win the golf tournament versus worrying about trying to make a lot of money. And I think that shows you a lot about where that kid is thinking as a PGA Tour player.
Well, I'm sure after he was sitting down to another great dinner in New Orleans, the one thought had to keep going through his mind, why did I leave that eagle chip short when he knew he needed that to get into the playoff? But we'll keep our eye on Cameron Tringali. Somebody else that played very well, brand new set of irons, new shafts, a new smile on his face, Boo Weekly, certainly a crowd favorite no matter where he goes, comes in third. Pretty good week for the Boo.
It is. And, you know, you talk about guys that really don't play well on courses where you have to go low. Boo Weekly, his victories have been in places like Heritage and Colonial, places that are a ball striker's golf course. Boo Weekly hit the ball well this week, but he putted well at a lot of times, and that's the reason why Boo Weekly is in third. But it's nice to see Boo back up there. It's nice to see him playing well, and I think he's one of the guys that if he could get things going, you could see him winning at a venue like Zurich or some other venues you wouldn't expect him to do that on. So, you know, never discount somebody like Boo Weekly, who's such a great ball striker, because if he ever gets the putter going, he can go ahead and win golf tournaments at a pretty good clip.
And let's not discount Mr. Donald Trump. He finds different ways of getting publicity. Apparently, Jim Herman, who finished fourth in the event, was working in one of his pro shops when Donald Trump allegedly walked in the pro shop and said, "You're fired. You're way too good to be working in a pro shop. I want you out on the PGA Tour." And now he finishes fourth. Good run for Jim Herman.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, you want to take advantage when things are going well. And I think you'd understand this as well. There are certain guys that they're going to get three or four really good weeks, and you really have to take full advantage of them. And Jim Herman at this point is in that wheelhouse. You know, Justin Rose, Jason Day, those guys, they have, you know, 10 to 20 good weeks every year on the PGA Tour right now. Jim Herman is one of those guys where he's going to get four or five good weeks, and he took advantage of this week finishing fourth.
I know Jason Day went out in San Diego, but seems to not being able to close the deal of late, but still another good finish, tied for fourth, tied there with Jim Herman. And then Chad Campbell, married to the country western singer, hadn't heard his name, hadn't mentioned his name in quite a while on the Grill Room. Good to see him making a comeback with a solid top 10 performance.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to explain what happened to Chad Campbell, and just as hard to explain why all of a sudden he finished T8 in Zurich. So I guess we're just going to let's see that play out and see what happens.
All right. We want to see what happens with rookie Daniel Berger, one of the more unusual swings, to put it kindly, on the PGA Tour, tied for sixth, another impressive finish. He's 18th in FedEx Cup points, 70th in the world now. 17 events, Alex, 12 cuts made, 4 top 10s, 9 top 25s, and he's got a cool $1.6 million in the bank. Had an excellent chance, I believe, down at Honda, lost in a playoff at Honda, but seems to be playing well all season long thus far.
Well, he has very good length. He doesn't seem to be, you know, he seems to be a player that's unflappable, doesn't really get too hung up on too many things, believes he should be there, believes he should be winning, believes that his game is as good as anybody else's game on the PGA Tour, has a little edge to him. All those really are positive when playing on the PGA Tour. So it would not, at this point, would not surprise you if he would win on the PGA Tour this year. There's no question that his game stacks up well against almost anybody else out there.
Well, you mentioned the word surprise. It probably does fall into the category as we segue over to the European Tour, Alex. Volvo China Open, Wu Ashen, and that's probably not the correct Chinese pronunciation. Maybe you can do a better job, but he made history by winning the Volvo China Open. Did it over a good friend of mine, David Howe. He's a former number one Chinese player, now made history as the first Chinese winner on the European Tour, and I can tell you it's not going to be the last. That was accomplished on home soil. He'd been playing mostly on the Japanese Tour, but now, with that victory, Alex, as you well know, he gets his European Tour card.
Well, it's... you know, obviously the European Tour is playing more and more in China. They'll have these couple events. They'll come back and they'll have one of the, two of the races, the Dubai events, in China as well with HSBC and the BMW. So there's a lot more events in China. The Chinese players are getting better and better, obviously, by what you saw here, but Wu Shan winning the first time for a Chinese player on home soil. So I think there's no question that they're getting better and better, but you got to take your game to a next level. Most of these wins have been, of the three wins, most of them have been in Asia. You got to take it on a major stage. You got to take it to a major championship. It took the Japanese a while to win a major championship. The Koreans a while to win a major championship. So let's just see what happens with Wu Shan.
Well, I'm trying to figure out what Japanese player won a major championship. Let's just forget
about
it.
There isn't one. There isn't one. Oh. But but that's the first time. I'm surprised you're listening to me.
I love listening to you, especially when you're at Chambers Bay. I loved last week when you were at, St. Andrews. I just dream about being in the wonderful places that you're in. Hey, let's listen to the 29-year-old Wu Ashan, the Chinese winner, as he talks about the importance of the win.
Yes, very, very special for Chinese win China Volvo Open. I think everybody will be exciting, and I like golf course here, so and good weather this week, and yeah, it's very, very special today, and I think everybody knows today, so I'm very happy today.
All right, he's very happy, and I don't blame him. Somebody else very happy about playing golf tournaments in Indonesia, Lee Westwood, records his third win. Any truth to the rumor that he's going to become a citizen of Indonesia?
No, I don't think there's any truth to the rumor, but it's interesting that Westwood seems to make a win lately overseas. I'm not going to say lesser events, but certainly events that don't have the same caliber of field. That being said, it was a struggle for him even there, Bob. He kind of let it go near the end and had to win in a playoff. But, you know, I've always said a win is a win. It makes you feel good. You feel you get a lot of confidence out of a win. It doesn't matter if it's in Indonesia or on the web.com tour. And so, you know, Westwood now makes his, you know, 42nd worldwide win, you know, 2 days after his 42nd birthday. But the bottom line is he did win, and he's going to take that. He's going to take that in the World Match Play Championships, you know, the Cadillac Championship here in San Francisco starting this week, and use that, hopefully, to build on going into what is now, you know, the players after that and then the rest of the majors. So we'll see if Lee Westwood at 42 can get his act together, because the window is closing for him to win a major championship.
How about a Lee Westwood win at St. Andrews? How sweet would that be?
Well, I think at this point, Lee, it would be sweet, but I think any win anywhere that includes a major championship involved with it would be sweet for Lee Westwood, because, again, as I said, the window is closing, and I think the window is closing faster now, not because Lee Westwood is getting older, but because there's so many good players that are competing in these events now. I mean, Wu Ishan, who knows, 29-year-old kid, who knows what he could do at a St. Andrews or at a Chambers Bay? You just don't. And that's the whole point now. There's so many good players out there. You just got to take advantage when you have them. And Lee Westwood has had advantages in the past to win major championships, and he's basically given them up.
Well, Alex told us it was only 2 days after his 42nd birthday. Well, somebody 2 days after their 18th birthday notches a victory. We'll talk about that when the Grill Room returns.
The Grill Room.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Make Coolbrella the next purchase for your golf bag. The Coolbrella is instant portable shade. It's an umbrella that reflects the sun, offering portable, effective protection from the sun. Whether playing or spectating, the Coolbrella protects from the harsh rays of the sun while providing a cool, comfortable shade. For more information on the perfect gift for you or any golfer, log on to Coolbrella.com. That's Coolbrella.com. Coolbrella, instant shade and all-weather comfort.
Sight is one of our most valued senses. Many cherished memories and important life lessons are acquired through sight. Through the Transitions Healthy Sight for Life Fund, we're reaching out in communities around the world to help people understand and protect their healthy sight. Think about what you'd miss seeing if you lost your eyesight tomorrow, and take steps to protect your vision today. See more at HealthySightForLife.org.
Welcome back to the Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
Well, she did indeed celebrate her 18th birthday 2 days before winning as defending champ at the Swinging Skirts LPGA Classic presented by CTBC. And I got to be honest, Alex, I'm starting to run out of adjectives to say about Lydia Ko. I mean, she is just pure, simple, fantastic.
Well, I mean, she again showed that she's the one that was standing at the top of the heap at the end. But at the same time, other players were in position to win this golf tournament and gave it away. I mean, Morgan Pressel bogeyed two of the last, I think, four holes. Yeah, she had this golf tournament won, and she did that. But at the same time, Lydia Ko is one that doesn't make a lot of mistakes and continues to focus on the task at hand, where others seem to get a little flustered. Morgan Pressel hasn't won in a very long time. Lydia Ko, clearly, as you said, has won a lot recently, and she knows exactly what you need to do at basically 18 years old to get the job done, and get the job done almost on a weekly basis.
Well, I'm getting tired of one question coming into the Grow Room, and it is Alex Maselli a member of the Swinging Skirts? No, no truth to that answer. But no truth to that question, I should say. They're a nonprofit organization based in Taiwan, composed of both men and women, amateur golfers, who are focused on growing women's golf around the world. They incorporate wearing colorful skirts and kilts, when playing. Now, have you played St. Andrews in a kilt, Alex?
No.
Oh, man, I'd pay to see that. Actually, we saw LPGA Commissioner Michael Wan. He was playing in a kilt the other day. Why can't you?
Well, first of all, Michael Wan is the commissioner of the LPGA, and he's pacifying the sponsor. I don't have any sponsors that require me to wear kilts.
You might have sponsors that would pay you not to wear a kilt. I would think that probably be closer. Let's talk a little bit about what's going on with the LPGA, Alex. Besides Lydia Ko, we get a Brooks Henderson. She's only 17, from Canada. Really had a great chance to win. It's only her 10th LPGA Tour tournament. She just looks, looks like the real deal to me. And, 17 years old, they seem to be getting younger and younger.
Well, I think that's the point, Bob. I mean, you were one of those people that said if they were young, they shouldn't be able to get their card. They should wait and so forth and so on. I think you'll probably backtrack on that now. But the bottom line is that these players, these younger women, are playing very well. They're establishing themselves as a factor on the LPGA Tour. And there's another situation where, in the case of the Canadian Brooks Henderson, she does not have her card. She has to get sponsors exemptions. The tour would have to go ahead and go through a special process, like they did with Lexi Thompson, like they did with Lydia Ko, before this young lady could get her card. And my point is that you shouldn't have to go through that. Age should not be an issue. If your play is good enough, you should be able to get your card. And I'm hoping that if Brooks Henderson applied for membership of the LPGA, it would not be a question.
As far as me saying people should wait, just look at my track record. I was adamant about the fact that Jordan Spieth should stay in college. He has no business coming out here and playing with the big boys on the PGA Tour. Oh, that didn't work out too well.
No, and I mean, Lydia Ko is just another example. And, she has been good leading. She's been good coming from behind. This time she came from behind, and she talked about not being in the final group but still getting it done.
This year was a little different, me being in the group in front of the final group. So, I just needed to play my own game. And, I set it off, a couple of shots back. And then when you're in that kind of situation, I just said, just try and make, as many birdies as you can. And, if the other players play better, I can't do much about it. So that was kind of the game plan. Obviously you would love to have the lead when you, go into a final round. But, it's ended up being okay today. Yeah.
Boy, what an attitude. She talks about having the lead like most 18-year-olds talking about having a prom date. The thing that really surprised me, Alex, Morgan Pressel, winless in the last 8 years. I mean, she came out, she was a phenom. Now she's 26 years old, married, but playing some good golf again. Finishing second to Lydia Ko, I sincerely would hope that there would be a win on her radar screen sometime during this 2015 campaign.
Well, you're right. She is playing better. She's found a little length in her game, which is what was required for Morgan. She just was never long enough. Now she is, at least seems to be long enough, but bottom line is that you got to make those putts down the stretch to win golf tournaments. She didn't do it. Maybe the next time around she will.
All right, let's move on to the Champions Tour, and a little sad note to begin there. The Bass Pro Shops Legends of Golf, not nearly the success they had hoped for. They had extended an invitation to Alex Maselli to come play in the event. He declined, and they went about their business. Saw a headline on the golf blot that says Durant and Billy Andre, not only won the event, but they caught the biggest fish. Any truth?
I have no idea, but I mean, if it's on golf lot, it must be true. But they also caught first place, Bob, at the top of the rock. Big win for them. I was actually hoping for Ian Woosnam and Sandy Lyle, who were in second place going into the final round, would win. But bottom line is Andre and Durant win. And, it's an interesting tournament, and I think one that the Champions Tour players really like.
Yeah, they seem to have a lot of fun there. Joe Durant and Billy Andre, that becomes their first win on the Champions Tour, so a huge event for them. Crowd favorites Jack and Gary, played together. It was tremendous. A good event. John Morris does a real good job there. After a brief timeout, we're going to come back with news and notes.
The Grill Room.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Make Cool Brella the next purchase for your golf bag. The Cool Brella is instant portable shade. It's an umbrella that reflects the sun, offering portable, effective protection from the sun. Whether playing or spectating, the Cool Brella protects from the harsh rays of the sun while providing a cool, comfortable shade. For more information on the perfect gift for you or any golfer, log on to coolbrella.com. That's K-O-O-L-B-R-E-L-L-A.com. Cool Brella, instant shade and all-weather comfort.
Sight is one of our most valued senses. Many cherished memories and important life lessons are acquired through sight. Through the Transitions Healthy Sight for Life Fund, we're reaching out in communities around the world to help people understand and protect their healthy sight. Think about what you'd miss seeing if you lost your eyesight tomorrow, and take steps to protect your vision today. See more at HealthySightForLife.org.
Welcome back to the Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
Our favorite music in the background. Alex loves it. I do too. We hope you will as we go into news and notes here on the Grill Room. Bad news, the 2015 Quebec Championship was removed from the 2015 Champion Tour schedule. Some funding not available. They had to scratch the event.
Well, Bob, it doesn't surprise you. I mean, look at the name of the event itself. It doesn't have a title sponsor, which means that somehow they were pulling all the money together either through the government, either the government of Quebec, the Canadian government, or other places. And, you know, at some point, that just doesn't happen. A lot of times they're taking money from the budget in regards to trying to bring people into the venues or the cities, saying that, you know, if we bring X amount of players in or people in, we're going to have this much dollars into the entertainment budgets, the travel budgets, so forth and so on. It just sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. It works in South Africa pretty well. Clearly didn't work here in Quebec.
Well, I'm sure something's going to work, and that's at Harbortown, the course to undergo major regrassing. And if you want it done right, you get Jonathan Wright. He's the course superintendent. They're going to kill all the grass and make the switch to Celebration Bermuda in the fairways and rough, and Tiff Eagle on the greens. I think that's a good move. There have been a lot of great reports on that Tiff Eagle, and of course that Celebration Bermuda seems to hold up very well.
Well, there's a lot of reasons why you make these changes, Bob. First is you get better consistency on the grass. So, one of the issues now is the use of water and how you can go ahead and have a golf course at a limited use of water, even though it seems like there's certainly a lot of water down in Hilton Head. You want to go ahead and find a way not to use as much water. And if you can go ahead and reduce the care factor involved, not needing to punch the greens as much, not needing to do some of the things that are required in regards to using pesticides and growth inhibitors or whatever it may be, you want to do all those things because it also becomes a staffing issue as well. So all these things are a positive. Using, as you said, Celebration Bermuda has been a popular fairway grass. And Tiff Eagle, in some places it's great, in some places it's not. I think this is going to work out pretty well. So bottom line is when the tour shows up in Hilton Head next year, you're going to see a completely different golf course, and it will play completely different.
Well, good luck to Jonathan Wright and his entire crew. Little doubt that they will get it right. How about Tiger? He took a Goodwill trip to China to grow the game. A picture I saw, him standing next to Ming, who's about 7, maybe 8 feet tall by now. Tiger looked like a little boy standing next to him. Maybe Tiger not only going there to grow the game, I think maybe, probably going to promote that Pacific Links National Golf Club he's going to be building there.
Well, I mean, it'll be interesting to see if that gets off the ground. There seems to be some question now what they can or can't do in China. You know, building golf courses now has become a real issue. That being said, did make the trip, doesn't play this coming week in match play, but did commit earlier that he is going to be playing in the Players Championship. So Tiger finally is going to show back up on the PGA Tour after his Masters debut, and he's going to be at the Players Championship. We don't know where he'll go from there, but Jack Nicklaus had indicated that Tiger had talked to him about definitely playing at Memorial. So we'll see what happens.
And Phil Mickelson has withdrawn from the match play. Too bad Phil just figured out that he couldn't get everything in, and he certainly wants to be well-rested when he gets to Chambers Bay trying to complete that Grand Slam.
You know, Bob, I have to disagree with you. I don't really understand this. Bones, I read somewhere where last week Bones had indicated how psyched up Phil was to be playing at Harding Park. Phil says that he's withdrawing for personal issues or personal reasons. We don't know what those are. I'm just not sure exactly what the reason is. And I actually think that Phil, who has dropped out of this event a lot in the past, really wanted to play at Harding Park. So I think it's kind of interesting that he's not.
Well, I think it makes sense that he's not when he wants to play at Quail Hollow. He's got the Players coming up. He's going to play down in Memphis. I mean, you just can't play every week. Phil wouldn't play the rest of it, probably wouldn't play any more on the PGA Tour if you could guarantee him a win at Chambers Bay.
Right. Well, that's not going to happen. But, I mean, he's also one of those guys that likes to play three in a row. And this was one of the three. He would have played match play. He would have played Players. He would have played Quail Hollow. We'd taken 2 weeks off. Then he would have played Memorial, FedEx, and gone into the U.S. Open. So I think the schedule was that. It's now been altered, and we're not sure why.
Well, stay tuned to later editions of the Grill Room. How about Trump Turnberry? Done to go some changes. Old Donald trying to get Turnberry back in the open rota. I took a look at the changes and whatnot on a little video that I was able to see. Seems like they make sense. But, you know, that schedule right now is so crowded, mainly with the Open Championships in Scotland. Going to be tough for Turnberry to get back in there in the immediate future.
Well, I think the changes made at Turnberry are changes that the RNA has signed off on, Bob. There's no question that there are changes that they'd like to see made. Trump, on the other hand, is, you know, he's a showman, and certainly he's going to talk these up as much as possible, which is great. There's no question about that. And I don't think there's any question that Turnberry's going to be back on the rota. If it's not, I don't think he's even off the rota. I think once they make these changes, there's no question that we'll get a date. The addition of Liverpool and really the addition down the road of Carnoustie has made it more crowded. But at the same time, I don't think there's any question that Turnberry is going to get another Open Championship in the very near future.
Well, certainly when you think of Turnberry, you think of 1977, Nicklaus and Tom Watson, what they call that, the duel in the sun. And then the last time at Turnberry, where Tom Watson at 59 years old, a golden opportunity requiring a par in the 72nd hole to win his sixth Open Championship. It was so close to a history-making event. I love Turnberry. Look forward to going back there. After the break, we'll go to my feature interview with Joshua Jacobs, founder and CEO of TGA Junior Golf, growing the game of golf by making it accessible through school programs. You'll hear all about it.
You're listening to The Grill Room, heard on TuneIn Radio and Armed Forces Radio Network, powered by Golf Week.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
I'd like to welcome some of the most important people in golf to The Grill Room. Golf course superintendents. Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many that now offer natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Masters champion Jordan Spieth agrees.
If you love golf like I do, you'll thank your golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Welcome back to the Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
Welcome back to the Grill Room. We've got a special guest joining us now, Joshua Jacobs. He's the CEO, founder of TGA Premier Junior Golf. There's no way I can tell the story as well as you can. I know you were a competitive golfer, went to Emory College, but you came up with an idea and you've transformed it into something very special. I'm going to allow you to brag a little bit on the Grill Room. Tell the story.
Oh, thanks, Bob. I'm not sure if it's bragging, but I think we're doing some good stuff for the game, that's for sure. Really what TGA stands for, Teach, Grow, Achieve, and what we believe is that golf changes lives. And so what we do is we make golf available to everyone who wants to participate, and obviously with the junior golf, we concentrate mainly on the youth in America. And the way that we do it is we bring golf into the schools as an after-school and before-school enrichment program where we incorporate as much about golf as we do academic subjects, life skills, character development, station-based learning, STEM, and other components that allow our kids to go through the multi-level program, get vested in the sport, allow the parents to get involved. And it really gives us a great opportunity to get the next generation from the schools to the golf course and getting more rounds played and getting more revenue driven at the facilities.
Yeah, because realistically, over the last 10, 15 years, it seems like, you know, the real concern was that people were dropping out of the game and not enough were coming into the game to keep the levels up there. And it was a serious problem, and I'm glad that what you have created is addressing it in a positive way. You know, and I know on a personal level, that if you start playing this game, you're not only going to play it when you're a youngster, you're going to play it for your entire life.
Well, absolutely, and there's two keys there, especially with the youth. You look at the youth market in general, there were 2.8 million junior golfers in 95. We went up to 3.8 million in 2005, and we're down to 3 million now in the latest survey. So we need to pick it up a little bit, and as you said, getting a club or getting the opportunity to play golf at a younger age increases our opportunity to keep these people in the game, and especially as they get older. One of the struggles that golf has, especially from growing the sport at a young age, is it's really not on the menu of activities for kids that are 10 and under. And what you're doing is you're fighting against all the other activities that these kids are doing. Everything from other sports to instruments to anything that they're going to do during their free time. You're fighting against time. And if we're not on that menu, the probability that we're going to get them at a later age drops significantly, especially with only about 3%, 4% of America playing golf now. I mean, we're down to 24.7 million golfers today, and that's down more than 5 million since 2005.
One of the things that you had to overcome to get people into golf, you had to make it accessible and affordable. I mean, because without those two things, it's going nowhere.
Without a doubt, as I mentioned, you're competing against everything else. So if the opportunity to learn golf isn't in the same realm from a monetary standpoint for people, and it's 2 to 3 times higher, they're just simply not going to choose it. So we make it available by bringing it to them in the schools, and then we make it affordable for them versus the other activities that they're choosing. So it puts golf on a level playing field, which it needs to be, And then on top of it, what we're doing with the model that we have is we're making it self-sustaining so that people can earn a living, whether they're running our programs in a geographic area, or it also increases employment opportunities for people who want to give back and teach the game as well.
I also understand PGA sections are getting on board. They're the real backbone of golf in the United States. But tell me, they are getting on board, right, PGA sections?
Absolutely, yeah. The Southern California PGA, they actually run two of our chapters here in Southern California. We're considered the golf in schools program here. And we work with other PGA sections on that player pathway. Yeah, PGA of America really is the leader in player development. And if there are some areas for room for improvement with them, it certainly is the introductory and recreational phase of a junior golfer. I think we're doing a great job with PGA Junior League Golf and Drive Chip Putt. PGA sections are known for their tournament series, especially for juniors, and they do a wonderful job at that. I think where the industry can really benefit from is these introductory and recreational programs that are going to grow the pie, and that's going to benefit every single facet of golf. The more people we get into it, clearly, especially the young age and the middle to upper income demographics, it helps the manufacturers, it helps the golf courses, it helps the PGA and LPGA professionals. It's a trickle-down effect, and where I think golf is concentrated the most on is the competitive and a little bit of the recreational aspect. But if we can grow this pie and get more people playing, I think we're going to be a lot more powerful industry than we are now.
All right, before I let you go, and we certainly appreciate your time, taking time out of an obvious busy schedule, what about the Golf League initiative? That sounds very exciting.
Well, yeah, we're going to be a complement to PGA Junior League Golf, and what they're doing right now is mainly traveling from one course to another in a team setting, and it's a wonderful initiative, especially with the national championship. What we're going to be doing is taking on a little bit more introductory and recreational role with creating leagues in every single one of our chapters where we have our school programs and can be a natural feeder into leagues. And we're going to do everything at one golf course within a geographic area. That way there's less travel time, it's much more local for people, and that's really the way the other core sports do it. All of soccer, basketball, football, you know, you play your recreational league, unless you're at a very high level, you play it in one location. So we want to make it convenient and affordable to all the families.
Well, we thank you for everything that you're doing to bring more people into the sport of golf. And as we said at the outset, it's certainly a sport for a lifetime. Our thanks to Joshua Jacobs, CEO and founder of TGA Premier Junior Golf. Joshua, been a pleasure talking to you, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Well, thanks to Joshua Jacobs, making a difference in growing the game through school programs. Next up on the schedule, that's right, that's what's next. You're listening to The Grill Room, heard on TuneIn Radio and Armed Forces Radio Network, powered by Golf League.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
I'd like to welcome some of the most important people in golf to The Grill Room. Golf course superintendents. Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many that now offer natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Masters champion Jordan Spieth agrees.
If you love golf like I do, you'll thank your golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Welcome back to The Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
All right, as Alex promised, what's next on the schedule? Let's begin with the LPGA Tour. Volunteers of American North Texas Shootout, presented by JTBC, Las Colinas Country Club, Stacy Lewis defending. Brooks Henderson is going to be Monday qualifying to try and get in there, even though she finished third in the swinging skirts. Let's hope she gets in there, give the tournament a nice shot in the arm. What's happening on the web.com tour, my man?
United Leasing Championship presented by PTI in Indiana. Greg Owen, Englishman Greg Owen, won in 2014. You know, the web.com tour, just like the PGA Tour, Bob, at this point, they're in the middle of their season. Even though it's only April, there's only so many events, so they want to take full advantage if you're a web.comer at this point. And then Champions Tour, I'm assuming you're going out there, since you guys are down in Houston, the Insperity Championship at the Woodlands Country Club. First of all, they all love going back to the Woodlands. They all played there when it was back on the PGA Tour, when it was the Shell Houston Open. Bernhard Langer is defending. And then there's that big event on Saturday, the 3M Oil and Gas Greats of Golf. I've been there a couple times. Lee Trevino, Jack Nicklaus, Gary Player, part of that challenge. And then you get Arnie, who won't be playing, but certainly will be there in attendance. But I think the best part of that whole thing, Bob, is it's not the Thursday, it's not the Friday or the Sunday, it's the Saturday, and it comes out after, completely after the tournament. You have this 18-hole scramble where you got these all these greats out there playing, and they're just fun to watch.
Now, I remember the time you actually flew in that early Saturday morning just to be in attendance. It's still a huge thrill for me. I'm going to be sitting there this coming Saturday, Lee Trevino, Jack Nicklaus, Gary Player, and hopefully Arnold Palmer all in the same room at one time. You know, I must pinch myself about 100 times saying, is this really happening? I mean, very rarely do you get an opportunity to see all those all-time greats together in one room. And all eyes, of course, are going to be on the World Golf Championship Cadillac Match Play. That's this week, the only match play event on the PGA Tour. And it's going to be at a favorite place of yours, Horning Park, San Francisco. Jason Day defending. And as we talked about, Alex Phil Mickelson, WD'd for personal reasons.
Yeah, and again, like I said, not sure what that's all about. New bracket this year, Bob, where they're taking the top 64. They're playing some kind of round-robin format. This is not any different than what the European Tour does with their own little match play event. But the bottom line is I think you've taken the best days of golf, which were the Wednesday and the Thursday, where it was basically win, you're in, lose, you're done, and they've eliminated that and made this other thing. I don't think this is exactly what I would want as a format, but, you know, the PGA Tour is a business. They're trying to entertain. This is the way they believe they should entertain, is creating this environment. We'll see if the players like it or not, because before it was like if you lost in the first round, you were gone. Now that's changed. The bottom line is you're getting the top 64 players in the world playing in a match play format, which you generally don't see out there. So it'll be interesting to see what happens and see who wins. As you said earlier, the defending champion is Jason Day, who is a very good match play player. But I think we've learned over the years, especially after the Ryder Cup, that there's some really good match play players, including a Jordan Spieth and a Patrick Reed. It'll be interesting to see how well they do in this format as well.
Well, as much as it pains me to agree with you, I do have to agree that Wednesday, when you had 32 matches, it wasn't the best event of the year, but it was the single best day in golf. 32 matches at once, win or go home. I thought it was fantastic. Good luck to the PGA Tour and this new format. Let's hope that it works out.
Well, that's it for this week. You're listening to The Grill Room, heard on TuneIn and the Armed Forces Radio Network, powered by GolfWeek.com. By the way, The Grill Room is also available on iTunes, SoundCloud, Audio Boom, and, of course, on our website, TheGrillRoom.com.
A big thank you to our partners, the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America, and to Ion Loop, and to GolfWeek.com. So for Janice Self, Alex, the traveling man, Miscelli, and myself, Bob Bubka, thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf and on Facebook at The Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in the Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.